Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
Don't you just love it when someone gives you the heads up? It helps you to know what's coming and what to do next. Yes, we really like the heads up. So, it's even more valuable when the heads up comes from Jesus. He's always giving helpful information, insights, a peek into the future, and yes, thankfully, warnings. Let's explore how these timely messages are a lifesaver. And while we're at it, let's figure out what a woe is. Let's start with, what is a woe? In order to benefit from the heads up Jesus gives, we need to know what a woe is. After all, it's a word Jesus uses. Concerning woe, I'm sure you've figured out by now, I hope, that we're not talking about getting a horse to stop. Whoa! Rather, we're talking about a word that alerts you to avoid something. Look out! So what is a woe? Some dictionaries give these definitions. Profound grief or distress. Affliction, or cause of distress. So what do you think of when you hear the word woe? Maybe Shakespeare? Some other playwright? Well, you wouldn't be wrong. However, the word woe is more commonly used in Scripture than anywhere else. It expresses deep emotion and trouble. Did you know that, I'm going to give you a list here, that all of these Scripture authors talk about woe? Here we go. Number one, Moses. Two, Job. Then comes David and Solomon, Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Jesus, Paul, Jude, and John. That's a lot of guys talking about woe. In today's content, we explore that Jesus' helpful heads up comes in the form of woes. Incidentally, every one of Jesus' timely warnings enables you to live an alive and active life. So that's good. Each provides necessary information and qualities, boundaries, and, as we said before, thankfully, warnings to live a healthy life. Well, with the definitions we mentioned of woe, you have to admit something. One woe would be bad enough. Overwhelmingly, seven woes would be the mother load. Even so, Jesus knows he must address certain things head on. So, he brings the mother load, all seven woes, into the open. However, I believe he does this with a broken heart. Interestingly, this confrontation happens on the steps of the temple. For many months, Jesus pivots and maneuvers with the Pharisees, ever so creatively, when they continually pick and poke at him. And all the while, Jesus never compromises God's character, his message, or his gracious love. So you can know when Jesus delivers seven woes all at once, we can be sure it's absolutely necessary to address the deceived, twisted, distorted state of heart the Pharisees have. Yet, despite how warped they had become, he loves them so much. These are Israel's leaders. Well, let's talk about the heads up from Jesus with compassion. Interestingly, Jesus delivers these woes with great compassion, and as I already suggested, likely with a broken heart. Essentially, he's giving a heads up about the state of the human heart. Plus, he directly zeroes in on the leaders of that time. Consider with me. Here are leaders of God's people, yet they are more wicked in the privacy of their hearts than the people they're supposed to lead and help. In fact, their role is intended to be servant of the people. Essentially, their leadership is to be identified and modeled after Jesus' servant leadership. Actually, this confrontation on the temple steps, strategically, it's a battle tactic. Not really with the Pharisees, per se. Rather, Jesus goes around with God's adversary. Although it includes anyone who prefers the enemy's approach to living and leading as well. Jesus speaks clearly about the wrong approach that sometimes filters into God's people and sadly, too often, their leaders. Matter of fact, in some cases, these unhealthy patterns and problems prosper in religious circles. You know, Israel's leaders aren't operating in God's reality in this story. Remarkably, they side with the father of lies. Unthinkable. Instead of being compassionate shepherds and guides to God's people, they're hard on the people. Matter of fact, instead of providing the genuine heads up everyone needs, they strut around with their made-up rules. Then they add frivolous burdens onto people's lives. Additionally, these guys pounce on those who need help. Seriously, they should be godly role models to follow. But sadly, they're an example of what not to do, and they certainly don't offer hope. Well, now into Jesus' heads up. It's time to consider his warnings, those woes we talked about. So let's look at the seven warnings Jesus gives in Matthew 23, verses 13 through 36. It's pretty sobering. Consequently, as we look at these woes, we should humbly look into our own hearts. This motherlode of woes is a serious message of what to avoid. First one, woe to you when you shut your heart to what you need to grow, and then influence others to do the same. So be open and receptive. Second one, woe to you when you work to make others believe your ideas rather than what God thinks is important. So be faithful and truthful. Number three, woe to you when you value God's gifts over the giver. Truly, Jesus is the giver and the greatest gift of all gifts. So value Jesus above everything else. Number four, woe to you when you do things for show rather than doing from the heart. Instead, cherish justice, mercy, and faithfulness. So, be humble and repentant every day. Number five, woe to you when you have selfish motives, greed, self-indulgence, but aren't kind, honest, or loving. So, be authentic. Be kind in your dealings with others. Six, woe to you when you try to look alive, but inside you are dead. Instead, trust and obey Jesus from your heart. Then you are truly alive. And number seven, woe to you when you work against God's chosen helpers in your life. Instead, Be open to his representatives. Welcome them as his investment in your life. Okay, so those are the woes that Jesus said we need to avoid. But to avoid those woes, it's critical to ask God for help. We're going to look at 8 things you can ask God to help you with. Then we're going to explore how you can partner with him in each request. So here we go. So the first thing we need to do is to ask God to tear down unhealthy strongholds entrenched in your life. In our response, we should learn to identify and fight the right enemy. The second thing that we should ask God to do is to examine your heart with a surgical eye. And the response to that is to be painfully honest about your motives and your agenda. Be clear-eyed about what needs to change. The third thing that you can ask God to do is to save you from evil influence and patterns. Our response? Humbly stay in Christ and follow his model. The fourth thing we can ask God to do is to bring you into deeper fellowship with Jesus. But we have a response to that one too. This only happens as you let go of absolutely everything and prefer Jesus as your number one. This choice affects your priorities, your affections, and your pursuits. The fifth thing we can ask God for is that he would transform your spirit and your character to match Christ's. And then our responses to that request of him is fourfold. First of all, to identify anything that's not pleasing to God. Second, to then confess those things as sin and give them up. The third thing is to then practice the character of Jesus in every daily detail. And then the fourth thing is to finally ask God to change you to be like Christ. Ask him for power to make godly decisions. So those are our response as we pray for God's help to transform our spirit and character to match Jesus's. All right, the next one is number 6, open your eyes. Ask God to open your eyes and your ears and your heart and mind to his way of thinking. Of course, this means giving up your own way of thinking. The 7th thing we can ask God to do is to heal a seared conscience. Sometimes it gets bad enough that the conscience that we have is just simply seared and it doesn't work very well anymore. So what is our response to that prayer? Well, a conscience heals by a miracle. So ask God for this miracle. And additionally, a conscience only stays healthy by practicing God's principles every day. And then the 8th thing, number 8, that you can ask God for is to help you better manage your heart and your relationships. Well, I have about 5 personal responses to that prayer. First of all, identify where there is a barrier with God or with someone else. Then, if you have been wronged, forgive and perhaps confront the offending party. The 3rd thing is to consider what boundaries to put into place to prevent future trespass against you or someone you are responsible for. The 4th thing is to consider if you have wronged someone else. Then admit it and ask for their forgiveness. And then finally, ask God to heal your heart and the other person's heart and move forward. Don't spin your wheels in the past. All right, those were some things you can ask God for. Let's really quick review, not the personal application, but what you can ask for. Ask him to tear down unhealthy strongholds that might have entrenched in your life. Ask him to examine your heart with a surgical eye. Ask him to save you from evil influence and patterns. Then ask him to bring you into fellowship with Jesus. Next, ask him to transform your spirit and character to match Christ's. Then ask him to open your eyes, ears, heart, and mind to his way of thinking. Then ask him to heal any seared conscience you might have. And then finally, to help you better manage your heart and your relationships. Why should we take advantage of Jesus' heads up, his woes? Well, people sometimes struggle with feeling forced to obey certain mandates. Instead, they want to be free to choose their own responses. Well, this kind of freedom can be good or bad. It all depends on where your heart is. Eager surrender to God and His ways shows your heart is where it should be. Why is there such defensiveness and resistance to God's thoughtful heads up, His woes about living healthy? Why is that? It seems to me people don't fully trust God's intentions toward them. Somehow, He's going to cheat them out of something. He doesn't really care about them. Or they simply don't believe Him. Well, those perspectives are extremely limiting and debilitating. So now we need to talk about perspective. Have you ever gotten the wrong idea about a person, then later realize how inaccurate you are? Your perspective shifts. That person is maybe admirable and kind and compassionate. They may understand the world better than others. All of that comes from a perspective shift. Well, the same can be true concerning ideas about God. So many conclusions about God are simply inaccurate. He's different than most people assume. Plus, He is admirable. He's kind and compassionate, even glorious with a great heart. And He understands the state of the world. Perspective matters, and maybe you should listen to His heads up, His woes. Here are some application thoughts and questions over today's content. Number one, which of the woes applies to you? Let's quickly review the list of woes. Number one, woe to you when you shut your heart to what you need to grow. Two, woe to you when you work to make others believe your ideas rather than what God thinks is important. 3. Woe to you when you value God's gifts over the giver. 4. Woe to you when you do things for show rather than doing from the heart. 5. Woe to you when you have selfish motives like greed and self-indulgent, but you're not honest, kind, and loving. 6. Woe to you when you try to look alive, but inside you are dead. Number 7. Woe to you when you work against God's chosen helpers in your life. Okay, so that was the list of woes. But the second application question is, are you being clear-eyed about things you need to change? 3. Is Jesus your number one? Number 4, do you need a better perspective about others or about God? I invite you, follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use the online player at the top of each article. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more. As you navigate life's challenges and issues, sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.